So it's a pleasure to be speaking to Nigel Dennarona, a research associate at the UK Data Service and an expert on census data that's released at the UK Data Service. Pleasure to be speaking with you today, Nigel, about your knowledge of ethnicity data that's been released by the census recently. I wonder if you could tell us about the latest releases related to ethnicity data in the UK and what it tells us about the way society has changed over the years.
Well, I suppose the first observation is that society is becoming more diverse. More places are becoming more diverse. So if you kind of look back over time, ethnic minorities were associated with particular parts of the country. Now they're kind of living all over the place, and there's higher levels of diversity and difference that people are experiencing in their everyday life, which is a big shift, I suppose. When we look at kind of outcomes for groups of people, we can still see quite a lot of differentials around areas like housing. And I've not had a chance to look at employment, but I'm kind of expecting that those patterns that have been seen in analysis of surveys and so on will be reinforced in the data we see about particular groups not experiencing such good, not having such good experiences in the labour market, despite achieving quite high level educational qualifications, not having such good experiences in housing, and a particular kind of issue in relation to housing is probably that lack of inheritance that affects some groups more than others, but appears to disproportionately affect some ethnic minority groups. So I think, having said that, that's not really a surprise. I suppose what the census offers us is the ability to understand where and how that's happening, to see more of the local geography, so that when it comes to local authorities or organizations planning interventions, they can target them more at spaces where people are living and hopefully be more effective in achieving those kind of objectives.
So the census tells us that overall the UK is becoming more diverse in terms of more varieties of different nationalities living here and more spread out across the UK as well. So that's the sort of positive insights from what the census has given us so far, do you think?
Yeah. And I think, in lots of ways, lots of people think about that. That's quite positive, because in the past, you kind of have the media representing minorities to people who have never met them. And that becomes quite different when our universities are kind of mixed places. So anybody who goes to university is going to meet people from different backgrounds, etc. So those kind of the secondhand prejudices are much harder to mobilize.
So I guess also you're saying, from the experiences of people with ethnic minorities, they're still not as fortunate as people who are not ethnic minorities in terms of housing and career progression. Aspects of that.
And health and so on. There's a whole set of unequal outcomes. And it's not as simple, if you're from an ethnic minority, you're worse off. It's that some groups within ethnic minorities, or some more people within some ethnic minority groups, are likely to experience poor housing, poor jobs. There's a whole kind of debate about what a good job is, and the latest research based on survey data suggests that Bangladeshis and Black Africans are much less likely to have good jobs than other groups. And I think what the census will enable us to do is to understand that more in its entirety, to get more of a picture of where and how that's happening, and where it's not happening, which is similarly interesting. If this is a phenomenon that's created by parts of places where people live, it may well be there's an interconnectedness, which I would kind of suspect, between the cost of housing, the cost of transport, and the availability of jobs that makes situations particularly bad. It's like, what are people's experiences like?
So I guess it seems like the census is, I don't think it shed any highlights on changes in attitudes towards ethnic minorities. It seems that if there's more ethnic minorities spread out across the country, attitudes will be changing more positively, but the kind of the lack of opportunities in housing and work and health, does that tell us that could be situational, that could be due to circumstances rather than a kind of some kind of a racist undertone, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think there are likely to be issues with structural racism in the system, because that's many people would acknowledge that. But I do think we have to recognize that minority groups are quite heterogeneous. And if you look at the populations around the two places we're working in Essex University and Manchester University, we have some very capable, well-off, well-educated people from ethnic minorities working in the university. But at the same time, in around the places we've got a lot of people who aren't in that position and who may well be in what people class as not great jobs, poor housing, etc. So it's not that the groups are all the same, but that within those groups, there seems to be more likelihood that you would experience poor housing.
It's just kind of it's multifaceted, I guess, in terms of the issues. Could it also be, or the sense of, could it be due to some ethnic minorities just not having the confidence and belief because of historical experiences that they can
It's very, you can't really unpick that kind of data from the census, because it doesn't have any attitudinal questions. So what we can see is what the state of people's lives is like around the questions that are asked around work, around skills, around use of transport, around the kind of families we live in, and so on. And that's quite valuable information, but it's only a baseline. I think we need to move on to survey type data, just begin to explore attitudes, both within and towards different minority groups.
So it gives you sort of facts, the broadest range of facts you can about the situation with people from ethnic minorities, which then can be used by other researchers to combine that with the attitudinal ideas, which could help to change perceptions if necessary around those two. So this is where the census is valuable in terms of using it with other data sets or other kind of studies to take to form a bigger picture.
Yeah. I think the other thing it does is, because it's such a large record, it gives you quite the ability to analyze intersectional inequalities. And the data isn't yet there yet to do that, but I think there is a capacity, particularly with the new questions on gender identity and sexuality, that you can look across age, race, class, from occupational social class, gender, etc., to see who is experiencing what kind of outcomes and what factors are driving that.
Yeah. And as I say, this information about the state of things at the moment will be very useful for government decision makers and local councillors and local community groups to work out where the problems are and maybe put heads together for interventions that can help to reduce some of these problems and address them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it maybe goes back a step further when you're saying, well, you know, how do we understand our community? Every 10 years, we get this massive snapshot. And in a place like London or Manchester, where you've got quite high turnover rates, you don't really understand your population. And there was an assumption that populations were becoming more diverse. But it's when those figures hit that you can see, well, actually, you know, there's significantly more of these groups of people. How do we understand what their needs are and how well we're meeting them? So it informs engagement first, I think, rather than assuming that something is wrong. But, you know, are we in contact? Do we understand these different groups living in our community? Are there things we should be doing? And that is a dialogue. It's a kind of, you know, classic local public service engagement.
Yeah. So the census data and the release could be a catalyst for change in the community, you think?
I think it's a massive resource for local authorities, for local voluntary sectors, for health, etc., just to understand the makeup of the population. It probably doesn't necessarily link to what the experiences of that population are overall, but within their own systems they would have pictures of that. So if you imagine the health service in a place like Manchester or London, they would have a picture of what their client base was like. They wouldn't know how representative that was of the population. Once they've got those demographics underlying it, they can say, well, actually, we're getting a very high incidence of X from this community. What should we be doing about that?
Yeah. And how deep does the data go in terms of what you've mentioned before about age and different aspects? I wondered if you can give us any insights into how else the depth of the data goes, really.
I suppose there's a kind of a technicality here, statistical disclosure control, which means you're always going to trade off geography and the specificity of where you're looking against the number of categories you can have. And I'm at the early stages of looking at that, but it does look like quite a lot of data is suppressed if you try to go too small a geography and too many categories. So intersectionality is really only going to happen at quite big geographical levels in terms of being getting a meaningful analysis out of it, maybe regional, maybe national.
And in terms of tell you about what's happening in different parts of the country, are there any insights into which parts of the countries are becoming more diverse or changing as a result of what's been happening over the last 10 years or so?
Well, I think everywhere is becoming more diverse. So there are a lot more diverse areas. There's very few kind of enclaves of single groups. And though the media reporting at the time did seem to focus on ethnic minority enclaves, actually the kind of reality over years has been significantly large white enclaves. And those appear to be breaking down more and more, and there's less of them. So I think that's the big message about where people are living.
Yeah, fantastic. And from your experience in this kind of field, how much do you enjoy finding out about this information or being involved with this kind of work? And are these new releases, how do they fit in with your overall work in this area? And does it excite you that does the data excite you in terms of what it's saying about the progression of our society? And I wondered how you felt personally about.
I think it's, for me, it's a bit more like a can opener, so it helps me ask questions. I suppose I would always say that even though I might do national level analysis, I would be interested in what's happening in particular places, because I think the stories are quite local. With my research interest in housing is planned at relatively local level. So if I was going to look at housing for different groups, as I have been doing briefly, it clearly is going to take that focus of what's happening in X to this group of people.
When were the census data sets released?
We had before and after Christmas, we had all the single variables. So we could see the shape of where people were living, which I think is where the kind of message about diversity came. Just at the end of March, we've had the first release of some predefined tables. And what we've got in the middle of March is what the ONS are calling a flexible table builder, which means you can cross-tabulate the different variables you want. And the system they're using will tell you if there are how many areas that you won't be able to disclose data on. So you can do that interactive balancing of your geographical scale and the variables you want to look at within that scenario.
And so what's the sort of multivariates? Is that just different kinds?
That's where you've got more than one thing. So that might be like ethnicity, housing tenure, or ethnicity and religion, ethnicity and sex and age. Those tables are out now. But if you wanted to go into more complex things, so one of my interests is around ethnicity and migration and age in relation to housing. You can't get that until the big table builder comes.
Yeah. And how, once you can do that, how would that be presented?
Well, I suppose the way I presented it was as a chart which showed the impact of ethnicity and migration and age on housing deprivation. And what it showed is there were worse outcomes for ethnic minorities. Those outcomes were worse the more recently you've migrated.
So you can compare it with different.
Yeah, so you can say, well, you know, this is something it took quite a long time to do last time with the new table builder. I should be able to do that at national level at the press of a few buttons.
Is it able to predict when that might be available? UK data service?
Provisionally, that's the 18th of April. So that's the individual level data. And then provisionally in April and May, there will be the household level data. So once those are released, that will be all of the census kind of tables that you can generate will be out. We'll wait and see how people take them, but I do think there's lots of material to explore there and lots of areas where people will be going back to look, even if only to build a context of a portrait of an area and to say this is what the area looks like now.
Is there anything else that you would like to say about the census data, at least in relation to ethnicity, that's worth mentioning in terms of insights and might be used to change our society possibly in the future?
I suppose that, you know, one of the things to say to those people working in the voluntary sector might be, I think it's important to see this as a way of understanding your local community, but it doesn't tell you what your local communities are experiencing. So the value of the work you do in engaging with and providing a voice for minority communities is still really useful, but having the simple numbers behind who you're representing and where they are can reinforce that message in lots of ways.
Yeah, so it can be used to sort of back up what they're trying to do to change things. It could give them the facts they need to push through, maybe through commissioning or funding some projects to help improve those experiences. It's given them the kind of that kind of weight of evidence, if you like.